isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're searching for the one. With over 500,000 new listings every month, you could find the one today. Download the Realtor.com app because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2024 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings. February 2024 through January 2025.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, October 24th. I'm Belle Lynn for The Wall Street Journal. We have two stories today about the company of the moment, OpenAI. ChatGPT is by far the most popular AI chatbot right now. And while you might already use it to plan a vacation or spruce up your emails, OpenAI is betting that you'll use it to buy stuff too. We look at how retailers might be affected if shopping inside ChatGPT becomes ubiquitous. Plus, one of OpenAI CEO Sam Altman's greatest strengths is that of mega deal-making. He's flown all over the world striking deals with some of the biggest companies behind the AI boom. But his high-stakes tactics come with risks, too. But first, OpenAI just released a new feature called Instant Checkout. It allows people to buy things directly through ChatGPT. So imagine asking it for a list of top-reviewed backpacks and then buying your new bag without ever leaving the chatbot. While that seems easy and convenient for us, our Heard on the Street columnist Jinju Lee says it also comes with some drawbacks for the retailers who partner with it. So, Jinju, Walmart's stock jumped when it announced recently that shoppers could go through ChatGPT to buy stuff. Besides the bump in their stock, what are some of the possible benefits to retailers when consumers can shop directly through the chatbot?
It's not a huge number right now, but people are starting to look to chatbots for shopping ideas. If you are a retailer that's available on ChatGPT, for instant checkout, which is what Walmart is now allowing on ChatGPT, then you would have the first mover advantage there. If you're a shopper and you see two similarly priced things listed on ChatGPT and on one of them you can click immediately to checkout, maybe you're more inclined to go for that option.
So there is some potential upside to selling on ChatGPT, but you also write in your column that retailers have plenty of reasons to be wary. Why is that?
The frictionlessness that instant checkout introduces is a great thing because as a retailer, you want the shopping experience to be as fast as possible. You don't want people like clicking on a couple different links and then getting distracted and maybe not making the purchase. But also retailers need to think about if enough people start using the instant checkout on ChatGPT and not leaving the platform at all to click on the retailer's website or app, that could potentially dent customer loyalty. And if there is less traffic on retailers' websites, that could also hurt retailers' ad revenue, which is a growing, profitable part of many of their businesses.
Is there anything that retailers can do to protect that customer relationship?
One thing might be they could just make certain products available for direct purchase on ChatGPT and not their entire inventory. Walmart, for instance, is allowing instant checkout for most things, but not for fresh produce. Another thing that Walmart has been able to do, and Amazon too, is they have their own internal AI chatbot tool for shopping. So if they make that chatbot really, really good, then maybe people will opt for that instead of using universal chatbots.
Are there any retailers that so far haven't signed up for instant checkout or seem to be hesitant to jump on board?
One big company that is notably sitting out of this is Amazon. And there have been reports that, in fact, they are blocking these external Gen AI tools from scraping their product data. And Amazon is working on a bunch of their own AI initiatives, including a tool that potentially would let customers shop for stuff outside of Amazon. Also worth noting that Amazon has a huge advertising business, so anything threatening their advertising business wouldn't be good for them.
That was WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Jinju Lee. Coming up, Sam Altman's Wheeling and Dealing has put OpenAI at the center of the AI boom, but it's also a precarious position to be in. We will dive into how Altman achieved his vision and what could come next after the break.
In June 2024, a teenager attended a music festival and never returned.
Miles and miles away from where he was staying, up a mountain.
I wasn't gone 3 days and turned into Pablo Escobar.
The online sleuths had lost sight of this was somebody's son.
The Disappearance of Jay Slater on Channel 4. Stream now.
Sam Altman has managed to tie the fates of the world's largest semiconductor and cloud companies to his own company, OpenAI. It's certainly no small feat and didn't happen overnight. WSJ tech reporter Berber Jin has been looking into how Altman accomplished his goals and the risks he faces as the AI era is still just getting started. So, Berber, to start, let's talk a little bit about the deal between Masayoshi Son, the chief executive of SoftBank, and OpenAI, and how that deal came together via Sam Altman.
Masayoshi Son is known as a really big risk taker in Silicon Valley, and Son had met Altman for dinner in 2023, and Altman had planted this idea in his head that if we were going to achieve these kind of superhuman forms of intelligence through AI, the world would need a lot more compute. And so at the time, Masa wanted to go really big into AI. In November 2024, the two of them sort of hatched this idea for Stargate, which was supposed to be this new company that would finance and build data centers for OpenAI across the U.S., Famously, they announced it at the White House on Trump's first day in office, and they promised to invest $500 billion building these data centers. And at the time, of course, all of these big CEOs like Dario Amodei at Anthropic and Satya Nadella and Elon Musk were saying they don't have the money, they have no idea what they're doing. And they weren't entirely wrong, because as we've reported, that effort didn't really go anywhere. It's been very much scaled down, but it did kick off this latest set of deal-making that Altman did to bring a lot of the cloud and semiconductor companies into deals with OpenAI.
From your reporting, how was Sam Altman able to convince so many of these big companies to bet these massive amounts of money on him?
The first thing is that this is what Altman loves to do. He's been doing it his whole career. He was a venture capitalist before becoming CEO of OpenAI. He's very good at selling a vision as well. And he kind of has these sort of very natural qualities of a deal maker. And more specifically, a lot of these deals come down to a very basic element of human psychology, which is just like the fear of missing out. We reported that after Sam Altman and Masayoshi Son announced Stargate at the White House, that caught the attention of Jensen Huang at NVIDIA, and that kicked off the discussions that culminated in this huge $100 billion deal announced last month. And through the course of all that, he was talking as well to Broadcom and AMD. And what he's done is independently tied all of these companies to OpenAI. He's having them compete against one another, right, to build the best chip for OpenAI. And with Oracle, after Microsoft hesitated and didn't want to fund his big data center ambitions, he just found someone else. And we've reported that now Microsoft is considering giving OpenAI more computing capacity. So it very much is this kind of dance where he's daring each player to go bigger and promising them that if they buy into his vision for OpenAI, they could end up making a lot of money. And then the people who are more cautious, he's making them a little nervous, right? Because he's finding other people who are willing to take the bigger bet.
OpenAI is generating just about $13 billion this year, which isn't nearly enough to pay for the estimated $650 billion that you write it owes to its partners for all these computing deals. How will OpenAI pay for all of that?
That's the question everyone is asking. Altman has said in interviews that he expects that a lot of it will just be paid with revenue growth. OpenAI has grown its revenue exponentially since ChatGPT took off. And internally, they feel that they could be generating way more revenue than they do today if they had more computing resources and were able to release more products. And Altman has alluded coyly to some new financing strategies he's developing, where some of these chip suppliers and cloud companies might even help OpenAI find a way to pay for these deals.
What happens if that growth doesn't continue? If Sam Altman's conviction that revenue will grow with more computing power and demand will be there, what if that doesn't happen?
So that's another question that is bubbling below the surface. It is this kind of surreal effect where essentially investors' expectations around AI are growing larger and larger, where the assumption is that OpenAI will continue to grow at these huge rates. So if OpenAI doesn't, if something comes out about OpenAI's revenue growth slowing or any indication that the market might not be as big as OpenAI says it is, it's very plausible to see a big sell-off in tech stocks. And he's tying the fates of a lot of the biggest cloud and chip companies to OpenAI.
That was WSJ tech reporter Berber Jin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. Jessica Fenton and Michael Lavelle wrote our theme music. Jessica Fenton is our technical manager. Our development producer is Aisha El-Muslim. Chris Zinsley is the deputy editor. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Logging off, I'm your host, Belle Lin. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.